Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And in verse 17, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack: go and sell all your possessions, all you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. As we look at evangelism, as we look at discipleship, this particular passage came to mind this last week, because I always try to pick out various passages in Scripture that demonstrate Jesus interacting with people. And look at the way Jesus evangelizes, the way Jesus disciples those he encounters. And as I look at the rich young ruler, there's some very interesting things that I notice. One is, you see the rich young man has energy for what he's doing. He's got a real sense of urgency. You see that he ran up. He knelt before him, so he shows him honor. He shows that it's a humility, and that humility is continued as he asks him a question. So this is somebody who clearly has authority. He has wealth. He has power coming from someplace. He calls him teacher, which suggests that he's probably Jewish. And he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Which means that he's aware that he doesn't have it, that he's seeking it, and he's wanting to know, what do I need to do to obtain this? The interesting part about this is that Jesus doesn't immediately go to, "Well, we need to pray. You know, come over here, we'll pray the prayer, and you'll be saved." Jesus asks him a question and says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." What's the point, do you think, that Jesus is getting at here? He's looking for, what is the standard by which this man's living his life? He's identified Jesus as good, and Jesus is saying, "Well, we need to look at what you consider good." He says, "You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal." So he goes through the commandments, and these are the law which the religious at that time would be trying to obey, trying to follow. This would be the standard that they're following. And the man responds, and he says, "I've kept all these things from my youth." Well, now we're starting to get a picture of the potential problem, that he believes, by his standards, he's kept all these things. Well, we know, and clearly Jesus knows, that it's impossible to keep all of these things. So he knows that Jesus is recognizing that this man is coming to him, knowing he lacks something, wanting to find out what it is I need to do in order to do it. Jesus isn't saying follow the law. Jesus is saying we've got a problem in the value. What are we valuing? Are you valuing the things of man? Are you valuing the performance that you bring about? Or are you following valuing the relationship that you have with me? Looking at him, Jesus feels love for him. So he's not disgusted by him. He doesn't put him off. He doesn't say, you know, dummy. He says, "One thing you lack: Go sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So what's he saying? He's saying, you're so focused on trying to follow the law, and you're holding yourself up as a great law follower, and you've done all of these things. But that's not the question. The question isn't whether you're trying to live by performance, whether you think that's going to get you there. The question is, are you worshiping? Are you following me? Is it me, the relationship with me, that's important to you in your life? Are you willing to give up all that you have? Are you coming to me because you want something from me and you want me to give you something? Or are you coming to me because you want to live a life where I'm going to give you what you need? Because there's a big difference there. So are you willing to make me, in other words, Lord of your life? You want me to make you, you want me to be your savior. You want me to save you. But are you willing to make me Lord of your life? And God's saying, you know, he's not necessarily going to ask us to give up everything. But what if he did? Am I willing to give it up? And that's the question. So this is why Jesus didn't right off the bat say, well, let's say a prayer. Because what happens if we say the prayer? I'm safe. I'm good. You know, a lot of you know that one of my callings, I feel, is that there are a lot of people walking around the streets feeling like they're saved, and they're not, because they don't understand what it really means. What it really means is, yes, you are my Savior, but you are my Lord. If you tell me that this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it immediately, and I'm going to do it totally. I'm not going to try to figure out a way to get around these things. But you are my Lord, and you're the one who I'll follow. One thing you lack, sell all you possess, give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So come and follow me earnestly. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He wanted that relationship with Christ on his own terms and not on Christ's terms. So the question for us is, do I want the relationship with Jesus on my terms, or do I want him on his terms? And when I'm sharing Christ, am I cheapening who Christ is by trying to sell people into becoming a Christian, or am I boldly stating he's worth it? He died for you. And are you willing to give your life in worship of him? Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way that you teach us in your word. And Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I've taken lightly the responsibility as a Christian that I have to claim you as Lord and Savior. Lord, it's my desire to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, that I wake up each and every morning and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Lord, quickly go about doing that and doing it fully. We thank you for your patience with us in the times we don't. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.